The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about the death of a child. Is there anything that seems more baffling to our faith, more likely to shake our belief in a truly loving God, than the death of a child? Especially if it's preceded by the long suffering of a child. Some of you have been through that harrowing experience. I haven't, but I have many letters from people who have. And I wanted to read you one which is so amazing. It is so clearly a proof of the miraculous power of the grace of God that I trust it'll be a real encouragement to any of you who may have experienced something similar. This is from Bobby Craik, who says, "The other day, as I tuned in on my car radio, I heard the tail end of your broadcast about joy in spite of suffering. I hadn't heard the broadcast for several days, so I'm not real sure what the topic had been. However, I heard you say you'd like to hear from any of us who had experienced joy through suffering and or sacrifice. 7 weeks ago, my daughter died. She died before she was born. I was 5 weeks short of my due date. I have a 6-year-old son and had waited 5 years before finally conceiving my daughter. I'm 39. Next month I'll be 40, and my husband is 51 years old. No one could have told me that I would experience this tragedy and yet come through it with blessings instead of being destroyed, but I have. Thanks be to our gracious Lord and Master. My daughter Anna was beautiful, perfectly formed, and there was no reason found by autopsy for her death. At 17 weeks of my pregnancy, I had a routine ultrasound examination which revealed the presence of stool in my baby's intestines. I was told it could be a normal finding, or it could be a sign that the baby was undergoing stress brought on by another problem within her body. Because of my age, they had to warn me that this finding is sometimes seen in babies with Down's syndrome and also babies with cystic fibrosis. However, the perinatologist assured me that she looked normal in all other areas and could very well be normal. I was also advised to have an amniocentesis, which I refused. At first, I was very panicked. I didn't know what to do with this information. My husband isn't a Christian, and I was afraid he may want me to have an amniocentesis, which could open the door to all kinds of choices I didn't want to make. So after praying and talking with my Christian obstetrician, I decided not to tell him. All through the pregnancy, I had feared what might come to pass. But when I stayed consistent with my prayers and time spent with the Lord, I felt him carrying the burden for me. Many times, as I would hear your broadcast, it would be about suffering and how God could use it to teach us and to bless us. Your words were always an encouragement to me as I waited and wondered if my daughter would be healthy. I remember one particular night as I prayed and asked God to help me through my fear, how I gave her up to him. I knew she was his before she was mine, and that whatever was to come, he would get me through it and also bless me through it. As my due date drew near, I tried to imagine Anna coming home and tried to picture her in her crib. But the reality of her actually coming home never seemed a possibility. At my weekly visit, at 35 weeks, when the doctor listened with a stethoscope, there was silence, no heartbeat. And I was not even shocked. I was deeply saddened, and the next few days were very, very sad ones. But I was not destroyed, and I still cry for her, missing the things that we were to share. But I believe God prepared me all through the pregnancy for what I had to face. I also know he is sovereign. My family and friends were amazed at my strength and courage, but I was able to give God the praise through it all. I praise God for the closeness my husband and I have now. I praise God for the new sensitivity my husband shows towards me. I believe he is working in my husband's heart, and that one day he too will know the joy and the peace that he has observed in my life, that only comes from knowing Jesus. And because of Anna's death, I have been able to witness to the power of the living Lord within me. Thank you, Elizabeth, for the words that helped me through those long months, the words that helped me believe that the God who holds you in his everlasting arms also held me and holds me now. Praise God. Well, thank you so much, Bobby, for sharing your story with us. I know that there are others who are going to be encouraged. And just a little over, well, I guess it was a year and a half ago, I was with my daughter when she lost her baby at 4 months of pregnancy. It was a little girl, perfectly formed. I held her in my hand. I looked at those tiny little fingers, just about the size of a hyphen on a typewriter machine. The tiny little toes, the little mouth that was slightly open. So tiny, and yet so perfect. And of course, who could help thinking of the fact that babies exactly that size are being thrown away in the garbage bags by the thousands because of abortion? What we wouldn't have given to see that little baby born normal and full term. But the question comes, of course, why? Why did this happen to us? Well, nothing happens to us that is not for us. I really believe that. Nothing happens to us that is not for us. God doesn't do anything to us that is not for our ultimate blessing. God's love is so deep, so high, so broad, so utterly perfect. He wants for his loved children one thing, their perfection in holiness. Think of anything that you yourself make. If you're a carpenter and you make a beautiful cabinet, you want it to be absolutely perfect. And you're not going to be satisfied until it can be as perfect as you can make it. Is there anyone who bakes a cake who wouldn't like to bake a perfect cake? Of course we want to bake a perfect cake. Are we perfectionists? Well, I hope we're not in the pathological sense. But surely we would expect God, who is perfect, to desire perfection in us. How can we be perfected in this world? By suffering, for one thing. But suffering is not going to make us perfect. It is our response to suffering that brings us a little closer to being conformed to the image of Christ. And that's God's purpose. Holiness is God's purpose. And holiness means wholeness, health. And one of the byproducts of holiness is happiness. The holiest people in the world are the happiest people in the world. In everything that happens, the Bible tells us, God is working out a pattern for good. Do you understand? Does God punish us by taking things we love? Well, that's always one possibility. As a loving father or mother has to punish the child, sometimes has to deny the child something that the child loves. The parent doesn't do that because he hates the child, but because he loves him enough to hedge him into obedience. And I think the same thing is true of our loving Heavenly Father. He loves us enough to hedge us into obedience, to make it hard for us to disobey. Now, I would not for a moment suggest that God's reason for taking this tiny stillborn child was to punish that mother and her husband. I doubt very much that that has anything to do with this particular kind of suffering. But it is not wrong to love the children that God gives. Surely a mother loves the child even before the child is born, even before she has seen him. The Bible teaches us to love them. Does God really have control over everything in our lives, including illness? Yes, He does. If I am willing to leave the whole care of my life to my Father in heaven, then I must believe that He is then in charge, in total control of all that comes to me. And in this quiet security, I rest. I don't need explanations of each event. Events are God's. Duty is mine. Obedience is my part, simple and glad obedience. Did God have a purpose for our daughter's death, you ask, or did it just happen? He had a purpose, and He is going to fulfill that purpose, and I believe that that tiny child is with Christ, being cared for as only Christ can care for her. She is in a place of bliss. God wants to take you and me there too, but in the meantime, He wants to conform us to the image of Christ. If I occupy myself with the holy will of Him who loves me, I will find myself at last at home in that will, where all that is His is mine. Will God make as much good out of her death as He can? Yes, He will, and He will make far more good out of that death than you and I could possibly imagine. He is the one who is able to do infinitely more than we ever dare to ask or imagine. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.